I want to carry on a little bit from last week. Well, I hope I don't carry on, but I want to add to, yeah, thank you. I want to add to a little bit. I want to go to the first chapter of James. And I'll just start. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your love for us. Precious, precious Spirit of God. Lead us today and help me to say things that you will be able to use in the hearts of everyone that's listening to bring life into their life, to bring that abundant life that Jesus talked about. And we give you praise and we give you glory and honor, Lord Jesus, because it's all because of you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Just feel a special presence of the Lord this morning. I like it. Do you? James says here, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." That word patience means endurance or perseverance. "But let endurance or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be have its perfect work, that you may be perfect," or that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, I wish that being a Christian meant that we didn't have any trials anymore, and we didn't have any tests, and we didn't have any things. Last week we talked about the Valley of Becca a little bit, and you might want to get that CD and listen to it. But, you know, just because you're a Christian, it doesn't eliminate those things in our life. How many know sometimes when you're trying to live for God and you've made a stand and you've purposed in your heart you're going to, how many know sometimes it's even a little more difficult? And James says here, he says, count it all, you know, and I don't know, he didn't say be happy about it. I've never been happy when I was in the middle of a trial, have you? But he said, count it joy. Count it joy when you fall into. that word fall has a connotation of being enveloped in or being surrounded by. How many ever felt like you just were in so deep you didn't know which way to go, and it was so heavy that, I mean, it's just like you were surrounded by all this stuff. And sometimes these trials and these tests and these things they seem that way to us, and you know, we just have an enemy. And he hates us. I love the way Peter said it. Peter said, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." He says, we're of God, but the whole world is under the influence of the devil. The problem is we live in the world. And so we're thrust into that. We live in a fallen world, and so we still have things to deal with. But I love what he said before that. He said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God." And so I'm thankful that even though we have an enemy and he does things and he tries things, even though we have him, that we have a God that's here with us and cares about us. And I'm sure nobody's going through any kind of crisis now, or I'm sure there's not a problem in here. There's not anybody in a test or a temptation or a trial. I know nobody hears that way, but in case you happen to being won in the next few days or few weeks. I just want to share a few thoughts with you today, okay? And he says that they count it all joy because that you fall into various trials or different kinds of trials. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of testing and trials. Some of them we do ourselves. I mean, some of them we open the door. How many know when you know to do the truth and you don't do what you know? That's giving the enemy the opportunity then to come into that area of your life. Sometimes the test or the trial is just to harass you and try to get us to quit, try to get us to give up, try to get us to be discouraged. You know, sometimes it's just things that suddenly happen to us and suddenly go through and you know, hey, they're not a time when you can be happy about them, but you can have joy because you know something's going on in your life. You know, there's times that any time that you take a stand by faith, you find something in the Word, and you take a stand by faith, maybe for your finances, maybe for your health. You know, there's a trying of the faith, and he says here that when your faith is tried, you know, the enemy is not going to give anything up to us until he's convinced that we know it belongs to us. Are you with me? See, we get this idea that because I became a Christian, everything instantly starts going my way. Everything instantly gets better. Well, it does get better, but you have a little more opposition because the devil doesn't want you to ever be all that God wants you to be. He doesn't ever want you to walk in all that God has for you. He doesn't want you to learn that you can handle him not just once in a while, but you can handle him every time with your faith. And you can overcome him every time. Now, I'm still working on every time. How about you? Huh? And any of you that have already arrived, I want to talk to you after service because I want to get some pointers from you, okay? We're all works in progress. But I can count it joy. I can count it gain because I realize that something in me is being changed. I realize that this thing that I'm going through is working something into me that I need, and it's working something out of me that I don't need. And the result of this, if I continue, and that's what James is trying to get us to see here, don't fall out, don't quit. If I can continue in this, it ends up that I grow and I become more mature. Does that make sense? So, that's what Romans 8 means. He said in Romans 8, he said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So I can have joy because I know, even though I'm not enjoying it, I can have joy because I know something's happening inside of me that maybe couldn't happen any other way. How many know, for us to be more like Jesus, He isn't going to change. We have to change. Huh? And if you're like me, I want to change, Lord, but I don't want to do anything different. And so He uses these things that the devil uses means for my destruction and to wipe me out and to knock me out. If I don't let him, if I don't let those things push me away, then he's able to use these things to change the things in me that need to be changed. Verse 5 says, and we often take this verse out of context, says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, we just pull that verse out of there, and don't misunderstand me. Anytime you need wisdom about anything, you can ask God, and God will give you wisdom. But that's not what James is talking about here. He's saying, when you fall into all these different kinds of trials, when you're in the middle of it, if you need to know what's going on, ask God for the wisdom about it. God, what in the world is going on? Now, that's usually the tone I use. You might go, oh, our most gracious Heavenly Father, No, but me, I just go, help! I just had to wake those up in the back. Lori, you awake back there? Ask wisdom. If you lack wisdom, you know, God, tell me what's going on. Show me what you want me to do. Show me, Father, what I need to do. Show me what I can use this for my benefit. Show me, Father, give me some answers. I'm asking you for some wisdom. Does that make sense? He goes on and says in verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Now understand what he's trying to say here. Saying you're in the middle of the problem, you're in the middle of the crisis, ask God for wisdom. Ask him what's going on, but ask him in faith. See, faith is not, if I'm too loud, turn me down. Am I too loud? Okay. Faith is not, God, why did you let this happen to me? Faith isn't, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Faith isn't, call up all the people I know and tell them, oh, will you pray for me because I'm going through this and I need this and this is happening? No. Now, it's okay to get people to pray with you. But I'm learning that a lot of our prayers are to gain sympathy from each other. And if I think you can give me something, Scott, that I need, so then I'm liable to talk to you that way, hoping that you'll give me something that I need. But you see, that doesn't help. Unless I tell God and I see from Him what I need, and then if He wants Scott to do that, He tells Scott to do that. Sympathy is a counterfeit for faith, and it'll stop it every time. No, faith is, Father, I don't know what's going on, but I know that you love me. I know that you're real in my life. I know that Jesus is my Lord. I don't know what's going on here, Father, but I know you've ordered my steps. I don't know how to get out of this, but I know you're going to show me a way. Father, you're the God that takes care of me, and you never let me down, and I believe you, and I trust you. That's praying in faith. That's asking him for wisdom in faith. You see, the truth is, you need to be firm in who you are. You need to be firm in what God's made you. You need to be firm in this word. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt who's causing you your problem. Because when we're wishy-washy, we're just like being blown into whichever way the wind blows, that's the way we're going to bend. Now, we all are that way without Jesus. You hearing me? So whoever that was feeling guilty, that's me he's talking about. No, just blow it off. No, we're all that way without Jesus. But here's the secret. We're not without Jesus. And sometimes I'll even go, yeah, I'm as flaky as a flake can be, but Jesus, you're not, and I'm trusting you, and I'm leaning on you, and I'm believing your strength, and I'm believing you know what's going on. And Father, you know the answer to this thing, and you knew the answer before I stepped in it, and I just believe you, and I just trust you. You can't start praying that way and stay down very long. Because you're not judging, you're not determining when you're getting up, you're not determined, that's not determined by what you see and whether the thing goes or whether it comes or whether somebody gives you this or whether this happens. No, you're not dependent on that to get up. You got up inside because you know who you are. You're firm in that stand with God. You're solid in your relationship with Him. And folks, that only comes by this word. Jesus said, if you hear what I say and you do it, you'll be like a house that's built on a rock. And when the storms come, they won't blow your house down. I was in a hurricane once, and we lived in an upstairs house, and I was just a kid, junior high or something, and man, our old house was going like this. Felt like every time it went like that, it felt like the top of it touched the ground. That's the way it felt. See, your old house might feel that way, but if you're banked on the Word, if you're banked on this, what Jesus said, if you've got your house, your life built there, your house ain't going to fall. The enemy might try to make you think it's going to fall. He might try to make you think you can't go any further, but he's a liar. You with me? You can't be double-minded. You got to know who you are. And that isn't something you can learn and it holds you over for 20 years. That's something you have to have a relationship with him every day. Because I promise you the enemy's working every day. In the wilderness, they got manna, and when they'd go out to gather their manna every morning, they could only gather enough manna that it would take for them to live that day. When they tried to get it enough to have the next day, the worms ate it, and it got all spoiled. You can't live on yesterday's blessing. You can't live on yesterday's relationship. It's got to be up to date, man. I got to have you today. Now, that's the first thing I say when I get up in the morning. Father, I just need you. I just need to visit with you. I just need to talk to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for making this possible that I can go in and talk to my Father anytime. You with me? Holy Spirit, thank you for telling me and showing me and leading me into that place. Well, better move on here, hadn't we? Goes on here and he says, let not the lowly brother glory in the exaltation, and let not the rich in his humiliation, because the flower of the field will pass away, for no sooner has the sun risen in the burning heat than withers the grass, its flowers fall, its beauty appears and perish. Its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. Now, that can mean a lot of things, but this isn't a debate on whether you're rich or poor. What James is trying to say here is, and let me just say this, you can't get into this word, you cannot build a relationship with God without Him making you rich. Without Him, you can't get in this relationship and walk with Him without having more than you had before you did it. It's impossible. If you're listening and you're doing what He says and you're trying to walk with Him. You with me? But think about it this way. See, we got two groups of people here today. One group is we just feel so lowly, and we just feel like a nothing, and we just feel so worthless, and we just feel like, you know, we're just low in spirit. We just, you know, man, if I was like brother so and so, or if I was like sister so and so, I'd have more favor with God. We feel. How many ever felt like you're on the bottom rung of the ladder in life? But what he's saying here is that person, when you're that way, he raises you up, he lifts you up, he elevates you. Because you learn who you are. You learn that you're an heir with Christ Jesus. And because of what Jesus did, he's able to raise us up. And then if we're up, you know how many know that whenever things are kind of going your way and you kind of got a little money left at the end of the month and things are going good and you've been praying and some prayers getting answered and you've grown a little bit and you're kind of established a little bit, you're not just as flaky as you used to be. How many know it's easy when that starts happening in our lives to really think that we had something to do with it? Huh? Well, the truth is, all we are supposed to do is listen and obey. He does all the work. Now, he makes it all happen. So if I've got a lot in the spirit and in the natural, then I realize, hold it, I've just got this because you made it possible, Jesus. It's the only reason I've got it. You see, I humble myself. This is all because of you, Lord. Now, you understand James is talking here about these trials, and he's talking about when you fall, and he's telling us how we should think and how we should act in these things. Now, unless you just want to stay there, how many just like to get in one of these big things and just stay there? Huh? How many, the last time you was in one, you said, "Just Lord, just leave me here a little longer because I don't think I've learned enough yet." Now, you might say that, not me. I'm going, uncle. Don't teach me anymore right now, Lord. Give me a breather. So my attitude is, hey, if I'm abased, if I'm down, hey, I can look to him and he'll raise me up. Man, if I'm walking high, I'm not going to get too cocky because I know why I'm walking high. I know why the blessings are coming. And instead of me getting a haughty spirit and a proud thing about me, no, I'm going to try to become more humble because, God, it's all you. And all that you've shown me, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. I want to keep going with you. Goes on here and he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him." Just the thoughts here. Blessed is the one that doesn't give up, that doesn't quit. Blessed is the one that goes ahead and goes through this thing. Goes ahead and goes through this crisis. Because when I'm approved, I'll receive the crown of life. Now, that word approved is a kind of a neat word because it's a word that's used with coins and money. A couple of verses in Genesis 23:16, it talks about silver coins being approved by the merchants. Now, this is you need to understand what was going on back then. You know, the coins, if they were made of gold or silver, and you got one, a lot of folks would shave a little bit of shavings off the coin. And how many know, after you handled about 1,000 coins, if you shaved a little bit off of each one, you had quite a bit of gold or silver. But the merchants learned when they picked one up, they could tell if this was the real thing or not. They could tell if it had been tampered with. They could tell if the money was good or not. Does that make sense? Another verse was Zechariah 11:13, and he says in regard to the 30 pieces of silver, he said, "Cast them into the furnace, and let's make sure the metal's good." Now, let's apply that to the test we're going through, or the trial. Let me just ask you this. Are you just going to love God anyway? I mean, what kind of metal are you going to be? Are you just going to, "God, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know why it hadn't ended, but I love you and I trust you and I'm dependent on you. And if I take another breath, it'll be because of you. If I take another step, it'll be because of you, because you are my source. You're my God. And nothing that comes against me is going to stop me from serving you with all my heart, because you're my God. See, sometimes we got to go in the furnace just to find out where we're at and just find out what kind of metal we really are. And when I don't like what I am, I just say, Holy Spirit, afraid to ask this, but change me. I don't want this in my life no more. I don't want to react that way next time. The next time those screws get screwed up on me, I don't want to squeal like a pig. I'm just trying to get this where you can understand it. This book is made for us to live by every day. Everything in this book applies to something in our individual lives. If we ask the Holy Spirit, He'll show us what it is. Oh, it's so good. He's so good. We can even have joy in the middle of a problem, in the middle of a crisis, because we know something good's happening. Well, let's go on. Now, this is the part you need to get, because we're in the problem. We've been thrust in the middle of this big thing. We don't know what's going on. It's all around us. We've asked God for wisdom. We've asked Him in faith. We're getting all our ducks lined up. But He says, verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted. He didn't say some folks there. He said each one. How many here is an each? We're all an each. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. And then when that desire has conceived, it brings forth sin. It births sin, and sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Don't be tricked. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, by Jesus, that we might be a kind of first fruit. You understand what He's saying? What's the first thing you think about when you're in the middle of something? God, what are you trying to teach me with this? God didn't bring that thing on you. He didn't put it on you. He didn't allow it to happen. In a sense, He allowed it, but He didn't allow the devil to take any authority that he doesn't already have. He says, when I find myself in those, I'm tempted, when I'm drawn away from my own passions, my own desires, my own lust, or whatever, understand what he's saying. What's opening the door for the devil to be successful in my life? There's something wrong in here. He isn't trying to punish us. He isn't trying to see how much we can endure. But he's using all these things that the world throws at us. Because how did John say we overcome the world? We overcome the world with our faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. There's something in here, Hank, that's caused you to do something that opened the door so that this would be in your life. Well, now, I don't know about you, but I want to close those doors. You with me? And I'm tired of hearing even preachers say somebody's in the middle of a crisis. And I'm tired of hearing them say, people say, well, you're just there because God's trying to teach you something. He just put this on you so that he could teach. Hey, pain, God doesn't teach by pain. God teaches by love. The Bible says the love of God will draw us all to repentance. If pain is what teaches, why are we spending so much money on our education system? Just have somebody stand at the door of the bus, and when your kid gets on, just have them hit them in the head with a ball peen hammer. If pain's what's going to teach us, how ridiculous. He said, let there be no variance. Let there be no shadow of turning. Don't you even think for a second God's tempting you with this or trying you with this. Now, when you get that firmly established in your heart, you'll be able to stand because you know who's doing it, and now you'll ask him for wisdom. How do I take care of this dog so he don't get me this way the next time? I mean, I want out of it, but I want to learn enough that I don't get in it next time. Are you with me? I talked to somebody the other day. I hadn't talked to them in several years. They decided they were too smart and didn't need to come to church anymore because they had all God and they knew all about God and they just didn't need any of this stuff that the Bible says we need. And I was talking to them and they came up with this stuff. They were telling me this stuff. And I thought in my mind, that's the same place you were 3 years ago. You were dealing with the same thing 3 years ago. Well, I'm not a fast learner either, are you? But I mean, you're only going to hit me with that hammer a few times until I learn to get out of the way of the hammer. Boy, you couldn't get this if you went somewhere and paid to get something like this. You couldn't get this because this is straight from the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, we ought to take another offering. We won't. That'll really start. I had a lady join the church the other day, and she said, I heard rumors about you that you locked the doors and you wouldn't let people out till they gave in the offering. And I said, no, come on, you can come. We won't do that to you. She went ahead and joined the church, though. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. He sent the good and perfect gift, Jesus, for us, so that through Jesus we could conquer the devil. We could conquer everything he does to us. We could have victory in every area of our life over everything the enemy brings. He said, I give you power and nothing will hurt you. You got power over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say all the power of the enemy. And nothing's going to hurt me. Nothing's going to hurt me when I decide to live this. Anyway, let's move on here and we'll wrap this up. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, I just have read this book for so many years and didn't understand. I mean, I didn't realize that I could just read it and the Holy Spirit would just give me revelation and it could just apply every bit of it to my life. And maybe you've been that way, but God just wants, He just wants you to be rich in Him. Huh? This word is so good. He says, be slow. How many know you can't listen when you're talking? Now, I know some of you ladies think you can. I multitask. Yeah, but you don't hear everything that's being said. You can't hear when you're talking. I was praying with somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, would you pray for them? Matter of fact, we came in here and came down to the altar and prayed. And so we started praying, and this guy just started, man, he just started praying, oh, I love you, most heavenly Father and precious God. And I mean, he's just a talking 90 miles an hour, and this goes on and on and on. And I finally tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, shut up. How are you going to hear what God's saying if you just keep talking all the time? He still likes me, by the way. He's a pastor. He still likes me. But you know, sometimes you just need to, He says, be quick to hear, be eager to hear. God, I want to hear you. I want to hear what you got for me. I want to hear your answers. God, I need to know you. I need to hear something from you. Anybody ever been that way? I need to hear something from you right now. God, I need you. He says, then be slow to talk, Hank. But I'll talk to you in that still, small voice. Be slow to wrath. Don't let your emotions run away with you. How many know in the middle of a crisis, we just freak out and we just don't know what to do, and pretty soon we're just... Blah, 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 blah. Listen to me. Be eager to hear. Be quick to hear. And be slow to talk, Hank. I'll tell you when you should say something. And don't keep those emotions in check. Don't freak out. Because when you freak out, that's a perfect sign. The devil doesn't know everything you're thinking. He doesn't know everything that goes through your mind. He just shoots those little darts, and when he gets you to react different than Jesus would react, he knows you're not Jesus and he can get you. That wrath and that anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Righteousness, the old English word righteous, we all know that, but that it's made to be right with God, but it actually just meant to be right. God designed you to be right. He's right. You with me? He's right. And he didn't design us to live unright. He designed us to live right. That's the whole process now. He's trying to take us from where we are and bring us where we're supposed to be, because it was predestined beforehand that we be conformed into the image of his dear Son. Ooh, glory to God. I just got a whole nother sermon, but I won't give it to you this morning. Says, so lay all filthiness aside and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the imparted word of God. You know, what he's trying to say here is, hey, quit acting that way. Start acting God's way. Our actions most of the time are what's opening the door to let the enemy get into us anyway. Is this okay if I wrap it up here? Is everybody okay? I don't want you to walk away and go, oh, he did a good job. I want you to walk away having something in your life that the Holy Spirit can use this afternoon and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, and use it so much that by next Sunday you'll have to come back for a little bit more. That's the way it's supposed to work anyway. He says, but be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your hearts. James was probably the strongest advocate that there was on don't just talk faith, walk it. Huh? Don't just act like you're religious and talk like you're religious. Let your life be religious. He said all that faith without the corresponding action to it is dead. It's worthless. It doesn't work. And I won't get all this here, but let me just bring this to a closing here. But he says, anyone that's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that observes his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does. Now get this. He's saying, what's he saying? He's saying, Hebrews says this. Says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it is it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What he's saying here is this word of God will separate. It'll show you the difference in the way you think and the way God thinks. It'll show you the difference in the way you're thinking, the things in your heart that aren't right. It'll show you the difference. And for you to just hear the word and not do it, nothing ever changes in here. The word is the only thing that can change us. And so if I look in the mirror and I just look in and walk away, and see, we don't want to admit. We'll go to great lengths to cover up my flaws and faults so you don't see them. And we have a tendency in the natural, when the word shows us something, we'll go, well, I'm not so bad. You ever ask somebody, you pray with them and you say, now listen, just use your faith in this area and God will show you something. And they go, I got faith. I use my faith. I know. Well, it ain't working. Something's wrong. It's not wrong on God's end. No, let me look into this word like it's a mirror. And let me let this word, when this word shows me something inside of me that's ugly that I don't like, it really doesn't matter if you know it or not, Eugene. What matters is, do I know it? And do I see it? And do I want to do something about it? Huh? But I can't change it with my willpower. I can change it with my supernatural power. He's called the Holy Spirit. So I ask Him to change this in me. And if it's a habit, if it's this or that, then I have to use my willpower then to submit to what He's showing me to do. Does that make sense? That's why somebody listening to me, you keep fighting this drug thing over and over and over and over and over. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you fix it. You don't need to quit taking them. You need to change whatever it is inside there that's making you want to take them. Huh? Somebody said, I've just been trying to quit smoking for months and months and months. I've just been trying. Quit trying and make a choice that you're going to smoke. A guy did that for me a while back, and he said, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I said, I can pray for you and you'll quit. He said, you can? We'll do it. I put my hands on him. I said, Father, if he ever smokes another one, kill him. No, 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 oh, oh, no, no. I said, well, then you don't want to quit, do you? Well, I had to get your attention. No, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he that looks into this word, and he who is sold out to God, he who is seeking God with all his heart, he who wants everything God's got for me, no matter how painful it is, I'll be blessed in everything I do. Because he'll see to it. He'll see to it. Is that good enough? Well, let's quit then. Goes on here and he says, if anyone among you thinks himself to be religious and doesn't bridle his own tongue but deceives his own heart, that one's religious is useless. Religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What's he saying there? He's saying, talk's cheap. Huh? He's saying, talk's cheap, Hank. Let's see some action. Huh? You really have religion? Then let me see you reach out and care for somebody. Let me see you reach out and want to pick somebody up. Let me see you reach out and start to be part of the answer instead of the problem. And let me see you shun yourself. Just shun from the very appearance of evil. Anything that I think's going to get me off track, I don't have time to fool with it. James was a big advocate of being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. I love it. I didn't say this, but after he said, after you're approved, after the furnace and you're approved, He says, I'll give you the crown of life. Huh? He's not talking about something that he hands you when you're in heaven. He didn't say the crown of heaven. He said the crown of life. Jesus said, I came so you'd have life and have life more abundantly. That's what he's after. For you to be victorious in every area of your life. How do you overcome the world? My faith in Jesus is how I overcome. My faith in what he did. If you believe that, everybody stand. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I just heard. Make it a part of my life. If you did that, you're in for some exciting times. How many of maybe now will try to look at the trials a little bit different? I mean, even if we kind of all knew this, we still have to be reminded, and we still have to stir the gift up. We still have to shake ourselves once in a while and wake ourselves up, because we just get complacent, don't we? Hey, I want God to be big in your life. And I don't want you to ever be in a place where you're discouraged and just want to quit because you just think God doesn't love you anymore, because he loves you. Everybody say, God loves me. No, everybody didn't say. Everybody say, God loves me. Y'all in the back say, God loves me. Woo, does he love me? Matter of fact, I'm his favorite. He gave Jesus for me. He gave Jesus for you also. If you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, I want to say this little prayer, and why don't we just all say it? If you'll just say this prayer and mean it, something will begin to happen in your life. Okay? Father, everybody say it. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. But I need your help. And I thank you that I have it. Thank you for saving me. Pray it in your name, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, or maybe you didn't and you want to, come down as soon as I dismiss, and we'd like to pray with you. If you did pray it, come down. I'd like to give you some information to help you get on your way, help you get into the Bible a little bit, give you some stuff that'll help you, okay? Hey, listen, God loves you. He cares about you. Let me just say this. If you're saved and you've never been baptized, we baptize here every service. We have robes and towels and everything you need. If God's been dealing with you about being baptized, hey, you come down. Let one of us baptize you. Hey, listen, I love you. Thank you for being here today. Let me ask you this. Was the service worth as much as you put in? Did you get your money's worth? All right. Give God some praise then. And I speak his blessings into your life. And I believe him to do big things in your life today and this week. And I just believe him to show you and draw you closer to him than you've ever been before. You want that? Say, that's mine, God. That's mine. I take it. I receive it. Hey, Tuesday night, we're going to be here handing out cookies and hot chocolate. If anybody wants to come and help, we'll be witnessing to all the community. And matter of fact, you could bring some cookies and some hot chocolate and stuff. Hey, love you. See you next time. See some of you tonight at 6 over in the fellowship hall if you can make it. You have a great day and a great week. Your presence, Lord.
tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, and my heart becomes free, and the shame is undone. Your prayer.